So today we're going to be in Galatians 4 primarily, especially looking at these first few verses. I'll start by reading through verse 7, and then we'll kind of start talking about it verse by verse. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. When the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that he might receive the adoption as sons, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir with God. So just starting with the first two verses there. Now I say, as long as the child is an heir, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So the child and the slaves, it says here, do not differ at all, though the child will ultimately be the owner of everything. In the meantime, he has guardians and managers. He's not inherited anything yet. But you'll notice that it also says that there is a date set by the father, when he will be like a slave no more. It's when he will gain his inheritance, when he will have no need of guardians and managers. This is definitely a good reminder to me as we go forth in our adoption, that our little girl will come into the world in the form of the seed of Adam. She will not differ at all from a slave, that she will be a slave to the bondage of sin, that she won't always do what she's told. Shocker, right? That's all you parents. That she won't always appreciate or recognize the rich inheritance right in front of her and all that she has. She'll take a lot of that for granted. That she won't realize she is an owner of anything, let alone everything. She'll even try to be her own God. She'll pursue her own path, her own desires. She'll pursue what she wants, when she wants it, how she wants it. And to that, probably a lot of people would be like, are you sure you want to be a parent? And there are times when since we've been matched, that Lauren and I have watched something and it's about some kid who goes far off the rails. And we're like, are we sure we want to be a parent? Kind of became a little joke between the two of us, just the random things that you hear about it. But the Lord doesn't leave us there, of course. Like always, there's something to look forward to. And that is that this little girl that we're adopting will be under her mom and my guardianship. She'll be under our management, as it says in this verse. And we pray that she has a date set by her heavenly father in which she will refuse herself, her childishness, she'll refuse her slavery, and she'll enjoy and she'll flourish in the rich eternal inheritance that God has for her. So thankfully, her inheritance includes having guardians and managers delivered and continuing to be part of the same pattern, because we've been beneficiaries, Lauren and me, of that same exact thing. So look in verse 3. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. Just as I just said, Lauren and I were children at one time too. I know it's a shocker, right? A lot of you didn't meet me until I was about 40, and you're like, oh, you were a kid too. But yes, I was a child at one time. And I was no different. I was just like a slave. Just like this verse says, I was in bondage, just like I described for our little girl as she comes into the world. But part of our rich inheritance was the guardians and the managers that we had. Our parents were delivered and being delivered from their own bondage, and they raised us in the way that we should go, so that even when we are not old, we will not depart from it, just as Proverbs 22:6 says. So how could all this generational deliverance happen? How could our parents who were delivered, who were managers and guardians of us, that they are now entrusting something to us for their grandchildren, for us to be managers and guardians of this to them? How could all of this happen? Well, let's look at verse 4. It says, when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So if you remember back in verse 2, it says, he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. So here in verse 4, we see when the fullness of time came. So again, we see two different kind of tips of the hat to time. God is coordinating everything under his perfect timing. So how does he do that? Well, it says God sent. God decided and committed to a course of action as only God can do. God's the one who decided to do it. And in his perfect will, God sent. That was his decision. That was his course, his action, his will. So what or who, as it is here, who did God send? So it says there in verse 4, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. God sent his only son as probably one of the most well-known and most quoted verses in the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He was born of a woman like us. He was born under the law like us. He was not born of a man. He wasn't born into bondage like Lauren and I were, but like our little girl will be, and like all of you were. God's will was to send his son, his perfect, unblemished son. What an incredible gift. So in verse 4, we see both God's perfect timing, we see God's perfect will. Christ came in the fullness of time, and God's the one who sent him of his own will. Romans 8 ties all of this together, favorite chapter of many believers. Romans 8, verses 6 through 8 says, for while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. God's will, he demonstrates it. That's him willing to do this. And that while we were yet sinners, while, that implies time, at the right time, Christ died for us as sinners. So that's who God sent. That's when God sent him. But how about the why? Why did God do all this? Well, look at verse 5. So that typically is an answer to the why. Well, so that, blah, blah, blah. So that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So God sent Christ, born of a woman, born under the law, because only one under the law could deliver lawbreakers, one who fulfilled the law. Notice I said one under the law, not the law itself. That's a clear delineation there. The law couldn't do the delivering. It had a different role altogether. We look one chapter earlier, and over here, Galatians 3, and down to verse 23. This is kind of the lead up to what we're studying here in chapter 4. Verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith, which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So the law was our tutor, pointing us and leading us to Christ. But when Christ comes and God grants us faith in him at the right time, we don't need that tutor any longer. We have the greatest of teachers who we walk with and we walk with intimately every moment of every day. So why would we need a tutor? We don't need a tutor. We don't need Christ plus anything. As you've probably often heard, Christ plus anything is nothing. So that's a famous phrase, a famous Christian quote. This also reminded me of when I was in seventh grade. I think it was seventh grade, if I remember right. I attended the first maybe 6 weeks of school, middle school, and then I got sick with mono. I promise I was not kissing girls. I don't know where I got it from, but I had the kissing disease, and I was so sick. I ended up having multiple sinus infections and ear infections, and I was super sick, and they put me on homebound. So I spent all but the first 4 to 6 weeks of my seventh grade year and the last 4 weeks of my seventh grade year on homebound, so about 6 months. And I was exhausted. I was home. I was sleeping on the couch. I was doing nothing. I watched, sadly, a lot of Young and the Restless because that was all that was on. We had three channels. We did not have cable. So I was like, what else is a, you know, 12, 13 year old going to do? So anyway, I sat there, I laid there, but I had this lady that would come, I think 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, if I remember right. And we would spend about 2 or 2.5 hours together. She was called a tutor, but she was really so much more than that at the time. She was also a teacher. She would tell me, here's all your assignments. Here's your work. Did you have trouble with this? You know, of course, I always had the little, you know, excuse that I was always, you know, going to go ahead and pull too. I was like, oh, I was too tired to work on that. She's like, it's okay. We'll work on it together. I'm like, good. I would never even have to do homework. This is great. But anyway, when I got to a point where I was well enough to return, the doctor wrote me, you know, notes, go back to school. I go back for about the last month of school. I no longer needed a tutor anymore. I was out from under the tutor because I was in the presence of teachers every day, all day, 7 hours a day, 5 days a week. I did not need to have someone come to my house 3 times a week to help me catch up. The tutor, or in this case, the law, was no longer needed. Our little girl will be born under a tutor. She will be born under the law. Her guardians and managers will do the best that they can do by God's grace to go ahead and love her and to show her how she is not going to be delivered by any good behavior. She's not going to be delivered by going her own way and kind of, here's the law, maybe I can run out from under it and it doesn't apply to me anymore. She's not going to be delivered by that. She's not even going to be delivered by having parents who go to church or who are, you know, sons of the rich inheritance of Christ, as is described here. She's only going to have that by receiving adoption as a child of the king. So blessings, though, continue if we look in verse 6 of Galatians 4. Look back over there. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Sons are sons because they partake with Christ, and sons have God's own Spirit in their hearts. The same Spirit cries unto God from within us, Abba, Father. Many of you have probably heard sermons about the term Abba. It's a term of endearment of a father. It's intimacy. It's not just a title. It's not just calling someone dad or father. It's calling him, it's a lot of times talked about as being daddy. That's the term that we get to call God the Father. It's similarly used in Romans 8:15. It says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. So here we see that there is no fear, but there is a spirit of adoption. And by that same spirit, we cry out, Daddy, or Abba, Father. It's also how Christ addresses God when he's asking for the cup to pass from him in Mark 14. And that's it. Here, in those two examples, those are the only times that that term is used in Scripture. So that's the company that we have in crying out in intimacy to our Abba Father. There's the Spirit moving you to call out to your holy, approachable Father, calling him Daddy. And there's Christ calling out to his Holy Father with whom he had complete and utter intimacy. So having said all that, I don't think you'll probably find it super surprising that I want to be the very best of fathers. I've learned so much from my own father and from so many in my life, including many of you, like my own father-in-law, who has loved and served his girls and his grandkids so very well, like Mr. Todd, who often, you know, whether he realizes it or not, is very quick, it very much reminds me that, you know, your daughter, even your oldest daughter, can go ahead and sometimes very much go her own way. And you may have to go and bail her out a lot of times, but he continues to love and serve her so very well. Very encouraging, very challenging to me. How about Mr. Tom, who got to love and serve Chad so well and even got to see him become a brother in Christ and now has a sweet fellowship with him? So many encouraging examples that the Lord has given me throughout my life. And so many of you are a blessing, whether you realize it or not, to me. So I really greatly appreciate that. But please pray that I remember that I can be a daddy to my little girl, but I cannot be an Abba Father to my little girl in the sense that God is. Lauren and I can love her and serve her as guardians and managers, but not as lords or gods or God himself. Pray that we would constantly point her toward the true eternal Abba Father, and that we are holy examples of the rich inheritance that that hopefully and prayerfully awaits her and that we're already enjoying. And pray that she will be found also in verse 7, where we wrap up today. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. I mentioned that I desperately want to be the best of fathers, but far more, I want my little girl to renounce her slavery and to become a child of, and if a child, an heir of the rich inheritance of God found only in Christ Jesus. I'm praying that God's will and his timing is to do that early in her life, that she is a testimony early and often of his rich inheritance that is only found in him being her Abba Father and in her adoption as his child. So I would ask that all of you would pray for me, pray for Lauren, pray for her. Continue to pray, because I know many of you do pray often for us because you tell me so, and I've even heard you do so, which is always such a blessing. I also want to continue to pray for all of our lost loved ones, people that don't know Christ, people that don't understand their sin, people that are are lost, maybe going their own way, trying to do it all on their own, trying to run out from under law, don't realize what exactly they are under, that they will soon be adopted sons of the great and glorious Abba Father that so many of us know. So thank you again for, you know, it's not just simple, silly speak or just like, oh, it sounds really sweet, but I really do appreciate so many of you going through this whole journey with us of adoption. You know, it's been a journey. It is not something you just up and decide. I saw somebody on some forum post on the internet say, you know, instead of like, having all this trouble having kids, why don't you just go adopt? I'm like, anyone who says that has zero clue what adoption entails. You don't just go adopt. So anyway, I very much appreciate all of you going through that journey with us. I'm so thankful that the Lord has been faithful through it all. You can even pray today. Actually, we have another conversation with the birth parents this afternoon. Those are always such blessings to us. But as we get closer, we're hoping that that'll it'll really still continue to be a sweet time with them, and that logistics would kind of be figured out as well as we get a little closer. She has to nail down her birth plan in the coming days. We'll hopefully be hearing about that sometime in the next week or so. So anyway, but anyway, with that, let's go ahead and take a few minutes to pray. Mr. Todd, would you mind closing us once everyone's had a chance to pray? I'll go ahead and open us. Lord, we thank you so much for the rich blessing of an eternal, gracious, heavenly, holy Father, Lord. There may even be some who hear this devotion and almost feel as if they're missing something because they never had an earthly father. We know so many times, Lord, that whether we mean to or not, we end up taking the image and the view and the relationship that we had with our parents, our earthly parents, and we project that onto who you are, Lord. But Lord, what a different insight when we understand that even if it was us in those shoes, even if we weren't absent, no matter how great we were, no matter how much we sought to love and serve our children, Lord, that we could never hold a candle to you. We could never be the incredible Father that you are to orphans, like so many, like all of us, Lord. Lord, we praise you for your holiness, for your timing, for your will. That your will was for Christ to come and to be bruised and broken on a cross, to be raised 3 days later, to pay the cost of our sin, Lord, to give us a rich inheritance of which without we have nothing, Lord. We do not have eternal life, but we have eternal death, Lord. Lord, thank you so much for the gathering of the saints today. Thank you so much for brothers and sisters in Christ who love and serve each other and have loved and served me so well these last 5 years, Lord. And thank you for the partnership and the encouragement, accountability that they offer. Thank you for their prayers as we seek to grow our family, but not just for our own vanity or our own desires or our own happiness, Lord, but to bring you glory and to bring you honor, to have a sweet little girl in our house that we can love and serve with the love of Christ every single day. Thank you, Lord, for that awesome responsibility, that blessing, and that calling, Lord. I thank you for the many people that have gone on before us and just in this room, Lord, that have had their own children, been their own salt and light within their own household to these little ones, Lord. I praise you that they continue to still do that, Lord, even when in some cases those children reject your gospel. They seek to go their own way, Lord, that they're steadfast in praying and they're steadfast in loving them, Lord. I thank you for that encouragement that it is to me and that accountability that it is to me. We thank you, Lord, that we have an opportunity to gather together in your name and to study your word today, Lord, that we don't have to worry about doors being broken down and being hauled off to jail just because we want to love and serve the God of the universe, Lord. We thank you that we can sing songs unto you, Lord, that we can hear your word preach, that we can pray together, be mutually encouraged through fellowship, Lord. Pray, Lord, that your spirit would move in and through and around each one of us, through the words that are spoken, through the songs that are sung. Your word would minister to us, Lord, by the power of your Spirit. Lift all this up in the precious name of Jesus.
Father, thank you so very much for this time this morning to gather in your name and to encourage one another with these words that you have left us with, your Holy Scriptures, and give us so many reasons to rejoice and be glad. Oh, Father, how rich and how blessed we are to be adopted in your family. What a great price that was paid for that adoption, Lord. We think of this analogy used that my brother shared. And it is, it's words, it is not a simple thing, Father. What a great price, what a great cost, what a great sacrifice of your beloved Son given that we might be adopted. And that what a great inheritance is offered to us, Father. Let us see with a greater vision today that inheritance, to be ambassadors, to be sit alongside our Father, our King, our Lord. What a wonderful inheritance we have, Lord. Oh, Lord. Even the angels long to understand how God in the flesh would be given to redeem us, Lord. Your Son was not sent to redeem angels, but to redeem us and to call us sons. Father, thank you for that great adoption. Lord, we do lift up my brothers and sisters' adoption, Lord. This is a good thing, Father, to pray for. This is a good thing to bring one into the world to want to love and teach and raise and nourish and the admonition of the Lord, to have yet another one to sing praises of your name, Father. It's a good thing. May you be pleased to bring it to fruition, to put forth your Holy Spirit upon this child at a very early age, Lord, that you would have even her name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Father, I pray that this great adoption would be thought about often by us all, those that don't know you, Father, that you would give a glimpse of this great adoption, that they too can be adopted with a great inheritance. Father, we think about those that we even sometimes foolishly envy, the children of those in power even, as they do not even know what they have and maybe the riches of this world just because they're in that family. They don't know it. Father, how much more should we who will receive an inheritance of everlasting value of those things that day after day after day we will continue to see glory after glory and our hearts be filled day after day for all eternity, Lord, to reign with you, to behold the beauty of the Lord day after day and never get tired, never get weary, sin never plaguing us any longer. All those great blessings are part of being adopted into your family. Thank you for that blessing. May you stir our hearts to know it deeper, to know it better. Thank you for this sweet time, Father. May you encourage us in your word. And you get glory from this day. May we gain a greater vision of who you are and who we are in Jesus Christ. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.